The Father's love is a strong and mighty fortress. Raise your voice now. No love is greater. Who can stand against us? Our God is for us. Sing with joy now. Our God is for us. The Father's love is a strong and mighty fortress. Raise your voice now. No love is greater. Who can stand against us? Our God is for us. Well, hello, good morning, welcome to our St. Simon's online service. My name's Andy. It is great to have you with us, whoever you are, wherever you are. Thank you for joining us this morning. A little later, we're going to have Pete Harvey, who is a curate over in Leyland, over at a church in Wellfield. And he's going to be preaching for us. We actually support Pete in his curacy as a church family. So it's going to be great to have him preach for us. And we're going to hear these words of Mark chapter 6 read and spoken on. Let me begin with some of them. From Mark chapter 6 verse 34, we're going to read, Jesus landed and he saw a large crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Jesus sees a large crowd and he has compassion on them. Because they're lost and they're helpless and they're harassed. And so he begins teaching them. He has compassion. And this morning, as we come to this service, that is Jesus' heart still for people. He has compassion on us. If you're feeling lost, you're feeling harassed, you're feeling a bit helpless this morning, Jesus has compassion on you. He moves towards you. In your helplessness and feeling harassed and lost. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray that we feel and see something of Jesus' compassion for us this morning, and that makes a difference in our lives. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you that he has compassion on us. Help us to feel that compassion this morning. Particularly if we need to feel and be aware because of what's going on in our lives. Father, please speak to us. Please show us Jesus. Please show us his heart of compassion for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Jesus is our risen shepherd king, and we're going to praise him now. Can people of the risen king tune your hearts to sing his praise? Let's sing together.
Come, people of the risen King, who delight to bring him praise. Come all and tune your hearts to sing to the morning star of grace. From the shifting shadows of the earth, we will lift our eyes to him, where steady arms of mercy reach to gather children in. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice, one heart, one voice. O Church of Christ, rejoice. Come those whose joy is morning sun, and those weeping through the night. Come those who battles won, and those struggling in the fight. For his perfect love will never change, and his mercies never cease. But follow us through all our days with the certain hope of peace. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice, one heart, one voice. O Church of Christ, rejoice. Come young and old from every land, men and women of the faith. Come those with full or empty hands, find the riches of His grace. Over all the world His people sing, shore to shore we hear them call. The truth that cries through every age, our God is all in all. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice.
Well, we rejoice and we praise Jesus because of who He is, our risen King, and for all that He's done for us, bringing us life and forgiveness and joy and blessing through His death and resurrection. So we're going to confess our sins together, knowing those things, knowing who He is and all that He's done for us, His heart of compassion, and the forgiveness that He's bought for us. So let's confess the ways in which we've needed His forgiveness this week. Almighty God, long-suffering and of great goodness, we confess with all our hearts our neglect and forgetfulness of your commandments, our wrongdoing, thinking and speaking, the hurts we have done to others, the good we have left undone. O God, forgive us, for we have sinned against you and raise us to newness of life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, earlier in Mark's account of Jesus' life, we heard Jesus say to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And that's what He says to each one of us this morning. If we're trusting in Jesus, your sins are forgiven. Heavenly Father, we thank you that that is true for us. Through the death of your Son, Jesus. Thank you that He declares to us this morning that our sins are forgiven, that we stand spotless and blameless in your sight because of His death and resurrection for us. In His name we pray. Amen. We're going to have our family focus, so over to Penny.
Good morning, children. Now, before I begin, I mustn't forget to say another big thank you to Josh and Micah. It's funny because I can't see you, but I know you're there, boys, for lending me their Duplo people and letting me have them for so long. So thank you very much, boys. Now, in today's true story from the Bible, this is Jesus and his disciples. I know there should be a few more, but they're just representing all the rest. They were, well, can you tell me how they were? That's right, they were very tired because they'd been very busy teaching and healing people. So Jesus said, "We'll go off on our own for a rest to a quiet place, I know." So they got in the boat. Again, I don't think they'll all fit in the boat, so I'll just pop them in like this, and rowed across the lake. But some other people had seen the boat leave and they wanted to be with Jesus. So do you know what they did? They didn't have a boat. They raced round the lake and they got to the other side before Jesus did. So when Jesus and his disciples got out of the boat, what do you think Jesus said? Do you think he said, "I'm far too tired, just go away please, come back next week," or "come back next month," or "don't come back at all"? No, of course he didn't. When he saw the people, he knew that they were like sheep without a shepherd. Right? And sheep these silly creatures that wander off. They don't know where they're going. They get lost. They get drowned in water. They climb up on rocks and they fall off. So Jesus knew that he needed to teach them, because they were just like these sheep. So let's gather up a few more people. There were lots and lots of them, but we'll just have a few more for now. Let's have that one and that one and these two. Okay, so Jesus taught them all day, but when it got towards evening, the disciples said to him, "Jesus, you've got to stop. You've got to tell them to go away so they can go and find somewhere to buy food, because there aren't any shops here." And Jesus said something very funny. He said, "You give them something to eat." And the disciples said, "Well, we can't. We haven't got anything. And we haven't got any money to go and buy food. And there's over 5,000 men here and women and children. There's no way we could ever have enough money to buy all that food." It was a lot of people, wasn't it? And then Andrew spoke. He said, "There's a boy here who says that Jesus can have his lunch." Well, here it is. What's in this basket? I think some of you know. There were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 bread rolls. I think they were a lot smaller than that, but they were the smallest Tesco had today. And there were 2 fish. And Andrew said, "But, I mean, that won't go anywhere, will it, with all these people?" And you know, Jesus didn't answer again. He just told them to sort the people out and get them to sit down in groups. So here we are, here's one group. Here's another group. Ooh. And he lifted up the food so that everybody could see it. And he said, "Thank you for it." And then he gave it to the disciples to give to the people. So they went round giving the food to the groups of people. And do you know, there was enough food for all those people. 5,000 men and women and children too. They had an enormous picnic. And they ate until they couldn't eat another thing. They were just so full. And it tasted delicious. And do you know what? When everybody had eaten as much as they could, there were 5 baskets full of food that was left over. So, what does Jesus show us in this true story? He shows us that he can provide everything we need if we can trust him. So, let's just pray at the end. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you that you provide everything we need. Thank you that you know what we need, even before we ask you. Help us to trust you and not to be anxious. Amen.
Well, the great news is that from next week, so Sunday the 12th, we can begin holding services again in the building. And that is really good news. It's what we've been longing for over these weeks of lockdown, 14 weeks, whatever it is now. And we've been working really hard, and there's a team of us who's been working really hard to make sure that we can hold services that are safe and are in accordance with the latest government and scientific advice. There's going to be an email that I'm going to send out later that's going to answer lots of questions, as I'm sure there will be lots of questions about what those services are going to look like, how we've made them safe, how we've tried to minimise risk and all of that. So if you're a regular at St Simon's, please wait for that email to come out. Hopefully it's going to be this afternoon or tomorrow. Let me just say for now, though, a brief sketch of what our plan is. We're hoping to hold two services in the morning at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock. So I know we normally have a 9:30, but we're going to have a 9 o'clock and an 11 o'clock. We need to have them at those times so that we've got an hour in between to clean the building and to make it as safe as possible. Now, initially, those services are going to be for around 30 people, and there'll be a need to book in to those services so that we don't have to turn people away, and so we can ensure we've got spaces for people. Again, we'll let you know how to do that. If it turns out there are more people wanting to come to those services, then we will put on an evening service at 4 o'clock in the coming weeks. But we're not going to do that initially. We're just going to try 9 and 11. Start slowly, start small to begin with, and see where we go from there. There will be socially distanced children's work available at those services as well. Now, I know that many still won't be able to come on a Sunday morning, either because they're vulnerable or they have vulnerable family members, or through illness, or through not simply feeling ready yet. I want to encourage you to meet together if we can, but not everybody will be able to. Now look, we'd love to live stream one of those services onto to YouTube for 11 o'clock. We'd love to do that. Unfortunately, at the moment, our internet in the church building just isn't up to it. We've been working hard to try and make that possible. At the moment, it's not possible. So our current plan, if you're not able to join us on a Sunday morning, is to record one of those services and then upload it for 4 o'clock. So to record a morning service and upload it to YouTube for 4 o'clock. So for the next couple of weeks at least, if you're watching online, the service is going to be at 4 o'clock. As I said, I'm sorry that we can't do it at 11 o'clock. I'd love to be able to do that. We're just not there at the moment. And please bear with us. And we're going to try and get that sorted as soon as possible. So 9 and 11 o'clock in the building, 4 o'clock online next week. Lots more details coming out about in answer to all your questions. But feel free to get in touch if you've still got questions after that email. Well, we're going to turn to prayer now, and Lydia and Rob are going to lead us in our prayers. Thanks.
Psalm 61, verses 1 to 4 say, "Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you. When my heart is faint, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings."
Let's pray. We pray for this broken world. We see the devastating impact that illness, poverty, war and rebellion brings, and we cry out to you, our Heavenly Father. Thank you for Jesus, our only hope in this world. We pray that people across the world will come to recognise that Jesus is the name above every name, and at his name every knee will bow one day. What a glorious day, and we await it eagerly, Lord God. Please work in this world to bring peace amidst suffering and violence, and transform hearts to seek reconciliation with enemies and ultimately with you.
Lord, we pray for the nation as it starts to reopen from lockdown. Lord, we pray for the pubs and the bars and the restaurants. Lord, we pray that they would still take the pandemic seriously and use whatever means necessary to keep people as safe as possible. We pray that people would still take on board the advice given from the government and be sensible when meeting up with others so that the spread of the virus may ease and eventually end. Lord, we pray for the key workers, especially those who are on the front line trying to deal with added pressures of long hours. Lord, we pray that you would give them the strength that they need to keep going. We pray for those that are returning to work after so long. We pray that they would do so willingly and joyfully. We pray for those who have lost their jobs due to the businesses closing down. And Lord, we pray for your church across England as it looks to gather together again in the future. Lord, we pray that you would refresh every single one of your children, that you would return to them the joy of their salvation, that as churches across the country hear from your word, your spirit would move, give life, shape and reform lives. Lord, especially to those who have been drawn in and are interested by hearing the gospel from the online services.
In our community, we are mindful of the struggles that families and individuals face day to day, such as physical and mental health issues, poverty, unemployment, domestic abuse and addiction, to name but a few. Many of these struggles may have developed or worsened over this lockdown period too. So Father, help us to be a church that looks on with compassion and for us to be a beacon of light and hope for those in need. Help us to declare that Jesus is the way, the truth and the life. We also pray for other local areas of outreach and support, such as the food bank, CAP and the food pantry, which help to practically meet the needs whilst also sharing the message of Jesus. Please continue to provide for these organisations as they seek to do your work in this area of Hyde Park and Southport. Guide us, Lord God, as we work out the safest way to open our church doors again. We thank you so much for Andy Liggins, Andy Norcross especially, as they've been leading and facilitating our online services every week. Thank you for the technology you have given us so that we can still access church services and connect groups and studies. We long to all meet again soon as a church family. Grant us patience as we await this, and may we return as a people rooted deeper in knowledge and love of Christ as a result of this difficult time.
The reading is taken from Mark chapter 6, beginning to read at verse 30. Jesus feeds the 5,000. The apostles gathered round Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. I'm glad you could join this broadcast, or if you can call it that. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Peter. I work with Mark Simpson in Wellfield Church in Leyland. I think we're one of your mission partners, which is very kind of you. Shame I can't be with you in person, but I'm sure we'll have an opportunity soon this year to do that. Before I begin, then, let me just pray. Lord, guide us through this passage, this message, Lord. I pray it would be your message and not mine. Help us to see who you truly are through your words. Amen. That's a really familiar passage, this one, I'm sure to a lot of you. A familiar story. But I think just like the main thrust of it, often its purpose gets overlooked or certainly missed. I always find it helpful when you're reading through Mark's Gospel is to have one particular verse in the background. And that's in chapter 8, verse 29, when Jesus says to Peter, "Who do you say I am?" And it's a great question to have in your mind as you're reading through Mark's Gospel. Who does Jesus say he is? Who is he? And you see, in a sense here, what we're seeing in this account is that the significance of that, the significance of the meeting that all these people had with Jesus in the wilderness here, it seems to be lost on them. And for many of them, the moment has passed by. And that's the danger with us. That could be the situation with us as well, you see. Because if we don't see who Jesus truly is, then the significance of that is lost. And the moment has passed us by. I remember when I came to this country, when I was younger, my parents were missionaries. We were at a very good church, which had a pastor who was quite famous at the time. I didn't realise how famous he was. Quite a few other leading world theologians would come just to listen to him. And in fact, some of those leading theologians came around to our house for lunch. I won't say who they were, I'm not trying to name drop. But of course I was quite young there, and I didn't know who they were. I didn't know these were famous published authors and well-respected names in theological circles. I didn't know who their true identity was, and therefore the moment, the significance of having lunch with these people completely passed me by. I didn't have a clue. It reminds me of another story I once heard about Matt Damon. The Hollywood actor, he starred in the Jason Bourne films. He was once in London in one of those little communal square gardens in, I'm sure, probably in Belgravia somewhere. And he had a hat on and a jacket. He was trying to disguise himself up to a point. And this Japanese couple came up to him, and the guy said, you sort of gestured to his camera and to his wife. And of course, Matt Damon thought, yeah, sure. And so he just put his arm around this guy's wife and waited for the husband to take the picture. But the thing is, they didn't know who he was. And what they wanted Matt Damon to take their picture. And so, of course, the moment, the significance of that couple meeting this famous Hollywood actor was gone because they didn't know who he was. They didn't recognise him. And I think that, in a sense, is what's happening here. Both the people who get fed and the disciples fail to see the significance of what's just happened in Jesus feeding them. But more importantly, that they're failing to see who's made it happen. And we see that from the account. What's missing at the end of this account is any sense of amazement and praise. In verse 45 of the same chapter, we see it just goes straight into the next story. It doesn't try and sum up the people's thoughts. In fact, the next account really helps us to truly understand how this moment was just passed these people by. In verse 52 of chapter 6, it says, "For they had not understood about the loaves, their hearts were hardened." This is talking about the disciples. They still didn't understand who Jesus was. And of course, this is one of the great themes in Mark, right throughout Mark. It's people not seeing Jesus for who he truly is. And what makes this even more strange is in chapter 4, Jesus says to them, "Look, I've given you the secret to the kingdom. I've given you the secret to the kingdom." Talking about himself, "I'm here." And in that same chapter, verse 41 in chapter 4, Jesus has just calmed the storm. Of course, the disciples say, "Who is this person?" It's like, "Well, Jesus, I've just told you." But why is this a problem? It's a problem because if we fail to see who Jesus is, if we fail to recognise who he is, then we fail to receive what he offers as well. If we fail to understand who Jesus is, we fail to receive what he offers as well. Because Jesus doesn't merely just come with a message and daily provisions. Jesus is the source of life and daily provisions because he is God. Jesus is the message. He is the gospel. He doesn't just bring it to proclaim it. He is that message. And when we learn that, when we learn who Jesus is, we then understand our dependence on him. Only then can we properly receive what he offers, true satisfaction. You see, the crops, the rain, light, the breath in us, all of this comes from him. He doesn't merely distribute these things. He doesn't just hand them out like an Amazon delivery driver. These things find their source, their very source, in him. That is true satisfaction. True satisfaction means we don't need to look elsewhere for life and sustenance. The true meaning of both are found in him because he is our Lord and Saviour. So let's look, first of all, who he is. And then we'll look at what he offers. Now, 2 points. First point, he's more than a prophet. Jesus is more than a prophet, and we must acknowledge him as our true Lord. And the context of this story is important because we've seen at the start of this chapter, chapter 6, Jesus has been rejected by his hometown. Of course, Jesus' family says a prophet has honour except in his own town. So he's talking of himself as a prophet here. And then as the chapter moves on, we see the account of John the Baptist being beheaded. Of course, this is a great pointer to what's going to come Jesus' way, indeed for his followers too. But it's important that Mark has placed this account of John the Baptist here because we see that John is dead. This is not John risen, resurrected. This is not a resurrected John the Baptist. This is someone different. Someone greater is here. And of course, in this feeding of the 5,000, this familiar story, we see these huge echoes of Moses feeding the people in the wilderness, in the desert. Of course, that food came miraculously from heaven. But of course, Jesus is more than that. He's greater than Moses. And what's funny is that Jesus even has them sit in groups in the same way that they did in that Exodus account. Have a look at verse 39. It says, "Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass." Of course, he's trying to show them that this is a new Moses has arrived. But of course, the thing is, the focus here is not on the miracle, but it's on the person who works the miracle. Like the food they got, like that manna they got from heaven back in the desert, that came directly from God. What Jesus is showing here is that this bread is coming directly from God. It's not being mediated by another prophet. Jesus is greater than the prophet. He's more than a prophet. He's the ultimate. He is Lord himself. And there's no one better still to come. There's no one left to come. I remember when Michael Johnson broke the 200-metre sprint record back in the Atlanta Olympics, 1996. I remember that record stood for some time until Michael Johnson just smashed it. And many people said at the time, that's going to be as good as it gets. No one is going to be able to beat that. No one can run faster than Michael Johnson over 200 metres. And of course, in 2009, along came Usain Bolt and absolutely smashed it again. And of course, now everyone's saying, well, Usain Bolt is the greatest of all time. Someone greater than Michael Johnson has come along. And it's very hard to see if anyone could ever beat Usain Bolt's record. There's limits to what the human body, certainly the forces it can exert on a track and the speeds that a human body can run. Many say that no one greater than Usain Bolt will come along. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing here. Jesus is saying, I'm not just a new Moses. I'm the ultimate Moses. I'm the one everyone's been waiting for. I'm more than just a prophet. In Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 23, he writes, this is the Lord saying, I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. Because Jesus is more than a prophet. Jesus is the great shepherd that the Old Testament speaks of, the one who gathers this community. And this is exactly what we see Jesus doing. Verse 34 in our account, it says, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. This is the one shepherd, the final shepherd that everyone's been waiting for. He's more than a prophet. And why is it important? And why is it important that we see him as more than a prophet? Well, have a look at verse 37 of our passage. But he answered, Jesus answered them, you give them something to eat. They said to him, that would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? You see, without faith in knowing who he was, they thought it was impossible. They didn't think they could feed, or certainly Jesus couldn't feed that crowd. It's so easy for us to think that way, isn't it, when we get Jesus wrong. You might think, well, he couldn't possibly forgive me for what I've done. He couldn't possibly forgive all my sins. No one can. No one can put right what I've made wrong. I'm too lost. I'm too far down that road. Or we might be thinking, well, my troubles are just too big for one person to sort out. I'm such a complex character. My troubles are so complex. There's no one person can sort them out. It's too difficult. Of course, a prophet can't, a political leader can't, a good motivating speaker can't, but Jesus can, because Jesus is Lord. And that's why it's essential we understand who he is. But of course, some people don't want to know who he is. And they think if they name him, then they weaken him. That's why lots of people call him just a prophet, or a good teacher, a good man, or he was just someone who set a great example for us to follow. Of course, when people say that, they're trying to limit his authority. I follow his teaching, but he has no authority over my life. He's just a good teacher. Or there's been lots of good people in history, lots of people to follow. And there will be others who will come along and transform culture and reconcile the world. But there won't be others, that's the thing. If we think like that, consequently, the moment is lost. The significance of who Jesus is and why he came, it's lost. It just passes us by. There is no other saviour to come. No one greater will be coming, because he's already done all the reconciling that needs to be done. We must see Jesus for who he is, as Lord of everything. That means trusting that there's nothing above him or beyond him. course, we come to him like lost sheep too, and not only to be fed by him, but to listen to him. We're going to look at the second point in a minute. But first, this. So we've been looking at how the importance of understanding who Jesus is, to really understand what he offers. So Jesus is more than a prophet. That was our first point. Our second point is that he's more than a provider. He's more than a prophet, and he's more than just a provider. And this means we need to acknowledge our dependence on him. He's our Lord and our Saviour. Now, I mentioned that little passage in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 23. He says, I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. So as I've mentioned, Jesus is that final shepherd who's going to gather his people, his community. But it also says he's going to provide for their needs. He will tend them, it says. Jesus is this shepherd that the Old Testament talks about, the final shepherd to come, who's going to gather his community and provide for their needs. But look at what that initially means. Look at what that entails. Verse 34 of our passage. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. He taught them first. And this is why it's so important to understand who Jesus is. We know him as our Lord, which means trusting him. And trusting in him means that we trust in what he provides, what we need, not just what we want. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, the famous verse, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." We seek first his kingdom, and then all the things we need will be given to us after. We come to him as Lord, we listen to him, and then he feeds us spiritually and physically. And it's important to get that order in the right way around. Of course, as I mentioned before, that one of the striking things that's missing from this account is that sense of amazement and praise at the end. And I think one of the reasons Jesus had them all sit down in this orderly manner was yes, it was to replicate what happened in the desert with Moses and the manna, to show, yes, look, a new Moses, a greater Moses is here. But it was also to make sure that everyone had an opportunity to see exactly what unfolded in front of their eyes. See, this wasn't just a mad rush for food like you sometimes see in those refugee camps or in a prison. And people just charge towards the food and there's huge crowds, just everyone lunging forward. This was all done in an orderly manner. Everyone had an opportunity to see how little food was there at the start and how much was given out. See, John's gospel helps us to understand this fact too, you see, because after this same event in John's gospel, we see that the crowd caught up with Jesus later. In John chapter 6, verse 26, he writes, "Jesus answered, 'Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill.'" Now, you often hear of people who've had major operations or long-term treatments. They get prescribed some pretty hefty painkillers. And what happens is that they end up getting addicted to these painkillers. Now, this is a huge problem in America, where these sort of painkillers are much readily accessible over the counter. Because when you've had major surgery or, you know, something invasive in your body, then obviously you need these. You need pain management to help you get through the day, help you to heal from the operation. But what tends to happen is that the body grows dependent on those painkillers, and people get physically hooked onto them, in some cases mentally as well. And the problem with that is that what happens, because you get dependent on the painkillers, the operation suddenly becomes a distant memory. And you forget, actually, it was the operation that saved you. It was the operation that cured whatever your ailment was. And it wasn't the painkillers. But the body thinks the painkillers are what's needed. And the operation is just a distant memory. See, when we don't acknowledge Jesus as Lord and our dependence on him, then that sense of satisfaction in the things that he offers will be lost. It will be temporary. See, in verse 42, it said, "They all ate and were satisfied." But we also can see from John's account that some of them went chasing after Jesus for more. Because as Jesus said, they'd missed the point. They were more interested in the bread and not the person who'd made the bread, who's giving them the bread. They were more interested in the painkillers and not the operation itself. They'd been hooked on the painkillers, and they hadn't given thanks or understood the real source of what's made them well. Jesus is more than a provider. He doesn't just merely distribute this bread. He wasn't the one just handing it out. The bread itself found its source in him. Jesus was effectively saying to them, what you are looking for can only be found in me. It's the only way to be satisfied. Satisfaction is to be saved in him and free from a life of trying to save ourselves. That's what true satisfaction is. Being saved in Jesus and free from trying to save ourselves. And make no mistake, we will be satisfied in Jesus. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 14, he writes, I will satisfy the priests with abundance, and my people will be filled with my bounty, declares the Lord. Understanding who he is as Lord helps us to understand our dependence on him too. And understanding that dependence on him is the only way to find satisfaction and fulfillment in him. Of course, the problem is we often look for that elsewhere, don't we? And consequently, we're always hungry. We'll never find that sense of satisfaction. Often this might be our work or our career, constantly striving to find that perfect job or that perfect career move. But we'll always be hungry. It will never satisfy us. We can't find that perfect job. Maybe it's that ideal retirement, a whole life geared up to planning for an ideal retirement. But we'll never find that. We'll always be hungry and unsatisfied without Jesus. I mean, you can replace work and or career and retirement with relationships, success, comfort. They all have the same effect. There's nothing wrong with these things on their own. These things come from God. But it's understanding their source and then understanding how to be satisfied in them. It's not the bread that satisfies, it's the one who was generating the bread in the first place. Only through Jesus can we find satisfaction in the things that he offers. Of course, sometimes we think we have found something. And instead of going hungry, we overindulge in something. And instead we just feel overfull and ill, unsatisfied that way. We might think we've found the perfect job, but then it overwhelms us and we have no time for family or church. We then become a slave to that job. Well, maybe we put all our effort into a relationship, but then it just suffocates you and you want to get out of that relationship because it doesn't satisfy you. These things on their own can never satisfy. Only through Jesus, understanding how Jesus gives us these things. Of course, the interesting thing is here, if we see Jesus as Lord and trust in what he offers, our satisfaction actually turns into generosity. For instance, it changes how we view giving, whether that's giving of our time or our money, particularly in church. There's always the fear, isn't there, when we're giving of our money that we might be left out of pocket. We might be short one month or, you know, we might not have enough for a rainy day or something. Or if we're giving our time, we're thinking, well, I might not have any time to relax or rest or enjoy life. But the thing is, because satisfaction is only found in Jesus, it means that we will never go without. We will never be without these things. Verse 43. Did you notice in verse 43? There was more food at the end than there was before it started. Even after everyone had ate, there was more food in those 12 baskets than they started with in the first place. Jesus is more than a prophet, more than a provider. He is Lord, and all things find his source in him. Satisfaction cannot be found in anything else. So don't let that moment pass you by. Let me pray. Lord, thank you that we find our very meaning and our very living in you and through you, Lord. Lord, help us never to take our eyes off that, never to see you as anything less than our Lord and Saviour. And Lord, I pray that you would constantly remind us of that and help us to live our lives in thankful gratefulness of who you are and what you've done for us, Lord. Help us never to try and find that in the things of the world, but to remember that everything comes from you, and only through you do we find life and salvation. Amen.
Well, thanks again for joining us this morning. Just a reminder that services next week in the building, 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock. Details are going to be emailed out about how to book in and what those services are going to look like. Online service at 4 o'clock next week. We'd love you to join us in whatever way you can next week and in the weeks beyond. Let me just pray for us as we close. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that we've seen of Jesus this morning, of his compassion for us, of his glory. And please help us to be those who this week are satisfied in him. In Jesus' name, amen.